If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. As we close out this 30 years of celebration, Acts chapter 1, we preached last night on the work of the ministry, what it meant, what it is, and defining it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, or God's way of doing things. That if you want success in life, you can't have people's opinions, you have to have what he says. And it's good to have opinions, but the opinions are transitory forms of thought floating on the ocean of life. They just change with every wave. But when God says something, it comes to pass. And then this morning, we preached on the business of the ministry. And we used Luke chapter 2, when Mary found Jesus and she said, where were you? He said, I'm about my Father's business. He didn't say, I'm about my Father's ministry. That this, if you don't run it and function and operate as a business, then the ministry will fall, no matter how much anointing you got. God's got to give you wisdom and insight and a concept to understand how to work. So, and also, we're really excited about what we're going to preach tonight. We preached last night the work of the ministry, this morning the business of the ministry. Now we're going to deal with the manifestation of the ministry. But I have to do something because I believe in being a Barnabas to a lot of people. Before I preach this sermon, this will take maybe 30 seconds. I have a wonderful friend here tonight. Him and his wife has worked for me many, many years. I mean, we have a lot of ministers here tonight. And they came to our house and talked to us and felt the call to go and preach the gospel as an evangelist. Now, they're still working. He's still working. But then as the Lord opened up doors for him, and he's truly a man of God. He's been a part of Covenant Church, I guess, since its opening. And as a giver and a tithe and just a blessing. He's preached many, many times here in this pulpit here at our church. And Ron Fortune is now opening up Ron Fortune Ministry. So, Ron, if you'll stand up. Hello, I don't know where Pia is, but bless the Lord. Give him a hand clap. That's Brother Ron. He's starting out his ministry. I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited what God's going to do. And he literally, you know, they're so godly. They just came over and talked to us about it and things. So he's just starting out. And my Lord, if you feel led of the Lord to have him come, he will be a blessing. And am I telling the truth, Covenant Church? Ron has been a blessing to this place. What a blessing. And the Bible said, give honor to whom honor's due. And Ron Fortune is a wonderful man of God. He's built like a house, but we went to a beach with him. He took his shirt off and I ran away. I said, I ain't taking my shirt off around Ron. You talk about, it's called before and after. And I was before. Glory to God. We had a wonderful time. And he's starting into the ministry. And as the Lord opens up and gives him more dates and things, and then he'll just launch out. Hallelujah. Into the deep. And he will be a blessing to your church. And I don't say that very often. I just don't do that very often because you just can't do that. But this man and his wonderful wife are proven people. And I'm so excited about the future of Ron Fortune and Ron Fortune Ministries. And I mean that. And I will always be your friend. You can take it to the bank. I will be there if you need me. Acts chapter 1. I want to start reading with verse 1. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Notice he began, he didn't finish it. He didn't finish it. He said, go do the works that I do and do it greater because I go unto my Father. That's St. John 14:12. That Jesus began to do. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now this here, Luke is writing this. And in verse 4 it says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now you notice that the Bible starts turning red right there. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons for which the Father hath put in his own power. Or in other words, that's none of your business. Your business is the next verse. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now notice what happens. Where there's power, there's manifestation. And you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Now notice as you go on to read, Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven. So I want to do a little teaching tonight on this, on the manifestation of the ministry. It's about time that we manifest what we believe. And not sparsely, not here and there and a hit and a miss. In other words, if we believe in healing, we ought to have a hard time getting sick. We've already had the power of the Spirit moving and the gifts of the Spirit when the service started. And if we believe in prosperity, then we should never have the opportunity of ever going broke. And if we believe in love, then bless God, we ought to love people even though sometimes we don't like some of them. Because you have to love everybody, but you don't have to like everybody. And I thank God for that, because some people are just not likable. You see what I'm saying? Or in other words, we should manifest. I want to deal with the manifestation of the ministry. Now notice when Jesus is about ready to go into heaven, he doesn't have faith on his mind. He doesn't have love on his mind. Faith worketh by love, but he doesn't have that on his mind. He has power on his mind. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now you can understand why the devil has perpetrated the church to tell people not to believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the power of the Holy Ghost shuts him down and produces manifestation for ministry. I didn't understand the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand how to receive the Holy Ghost. They told me to pray through. I then went through several times and never got anything. They told me to tarry. I tarried to bless God. I was tired of tarrying. I've had enough people spit in my face and scream in my ears. I just had enough. Can I say something? I can say anything I want. This is my church. So but we're not going to let this go out on the tape, and we'll bleep it. But I had a woman screaming in my face one time to receive the Holy Ghost, and I just told her, get the hell away from me. Man, that's not cursing. That's culture in South Louisiana. Made me so mad, I couldn't think of nothing. Woman spitting in my face, cussing at me. I mean, not cussing at me, but I said, man, what's the matter with you? And Kathy said, that's not the way you get the Holy Ghost. But the woman aggravated me. But I never forget a cross-eyed preacher came to town. He's in heaven today. His name is Wallace Key. And it was one of the most amazing men I ever met in my life when I first saw him. He had a little affliction. He would scratch all the time. You know, the power of scratching. After a while, you're looking at somebody doing this. After a while, you start doing this. You know, it just kind of get on you. And he called up. And Christine, you were there that night. Me and Christine both came up. That's Kathy's sister. And he talked like this, I'll tell you one thing, bless God. Now he's so cross-eyed that I couldn't tell if he's looking at me or not. God is my witness, that boy's cross-eyed. So how many we had up there? About 8 people, I guess, me and Chris. I'm standing there, you know, he said, you can come and receive the Holy Ghost. And I thought, man, Kathy said, go. I said, I ain't going, man, I've been trying to, God don't want to give me that. I don't want nobody spitting in my face and hollering. And all that kind of stuff. She said, go. So finally, you know, through that urgent, I saw Christine go up. So I said, I'll go myself. So I'm standing there. And he's going to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. He comes to me. He said, are you ready to receive the Holy Ghost? The problem was he was looking over there. So he's looking over there. So I said, are you talking to me? He said, yeah, I'm talking to you. And he's doing this. And I begin to itch myself. And when he laid his hands on me, he showed me how to yield. And now he didn't say this, say this, C-O-C-L, C-O-C-A, C-O-L-A. That's Coca-Cola. That ain't got nothing to do with no Holy Ghost. I don't have anything to. But when he laid his hand on me, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I never forgot him. And right before he went home to be with the Lord, he saw my ministry prosper. And we was able to bless him. A wonderful man of God. I mean, I couldn't tell if he's looking at me. And that night we went and get something to eat, and you couldn't tell. He looked straight at you, but he'd be talking to the person across the street. So, you know, you're trying to be nice. I mean, he could keep his head straight and you'd be over here and he's looking at you. Cause that eye was over there. This one was up. It was a strange situation. I'll never forget that man. But I received the Holy Ghost under his ministry. Did you know Wallace Key? You knew Wallace Key. I knew Betty knew Wallace Key. He was an amazing man. Anointing of God come down every time he come to town. He was an amazing person. So write this down. Take some notes because we're going to deal with the manifestation of the ministry. Before Jesus' ascension, his thoughts were not on faith or love, but on power. So we got to have power. He said to be endued with power. So in other words, we must become intoxicated with the influence of Pentecost. You see, the reason why some people turn Pentecost down, because we don't make it attractive to them. You know, we don't make it attractive at all. We make it, it's hard to get this, when really, my Lord, it's the easiest gift to receive from the Lord. to be so intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. And when you get so close to this manifestation of ministry, you may, and many of you before you saved, you got drunk, but you ain't never been drunk till you've been drunk on the Holy Ghost. Because you don't have any hangovers or hang-ups. It's just blessing. Now, when Kathy got filled with the Holy Ghost, Kathy's a pretty quiet woman until she started preaching. And now she getting louder and louder by the day. But before she wouldn't say two words. But when the Holy Ghost came, I had my head down. When she got filled with the Holy Ghost, I heard this blood-curdling scream. Wow! And I thought, who is doing that? Stop that woman. Good God, that's my wife. She fell out in the Holy Ghost. And received. I mean, Kathy would just get loud, would just scream. One time she ran around the church and dove into the altar. Lost her shoes running. Dove into an altar. Everybody was shouting. You think Kathy was spiritual when she got up? She said, did my dress go up? I said, no, your dress didn't go up. I'll never forget that. Dove into the altar. Well, she got intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. I mean, literally intoxicated with the power of the Spirit of God. And it used to embarrass the socks off of me. People would pray for her, she'd fall out, and I'd be in the pew going, get up. Get up. Get up. And she's, oh, I said, that ain't tongues. That's a Japanese person that can't even talk Japanese. I said, what is she saying? But the difference was she was a spiritual drunk and I wasn't. I was just looking around, glory to God, and I thought, my, and you know how people are, when they know you're their wife, they look at you and go, and I want to say, shut up. Go on about your business. But Kathy would just get emotional. And I would tell her at the house, can't you calm down? She said, Jess, you never been touched like that. And I don't want to be touched like that. I didn't have that. I just can't holler like that. I mean, my Lord, control yourself, woman. She said, I just lose control. I said, everybody knows. And you know, when people start losing control in the Spirit of God, people sound straight crazy. Here's Kathy going, cha-ta-ma-ta, cha-ta-ma-ta. And there's another going, another lady next to her, ooh, ooh. There's another guy, he's speaking tongue like somebody's trying to start a car that the battery's going down. Chink, 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 chink. Chink, 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 chink. Chink, 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 chink. Now, to a man that's in the flesh, I thought, my God. One guy sounded like he had a broke starter. Shing, ding, 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 ding. Shing, ding, 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 ding. This is in the church called Terrebonne Full Gospel Temple. Shing, ding, 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 ding. I said, that ain't no tongues. That ain't any of that stuff. We had one guy, he said, I'm filled. He'd go, come on. And that was it. That's all he had. Come on. True story. But the difference between them and me, they were manifesting and I wasn't. You see what I'm saying? Until Wallace Key, ladies, and y'all heard my tongue. I freaked out. I had a language. I said, get down with your bad self. Just, Lord Jesus, ain't no more call. Ding, 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 ding. Chikada. I got a language from God. I was so excited. Now, I'm not being disrespectful, but that's what I would look at all those things. Ooh, that poor woman. Ooh. Ooh. We had some black people come to church. Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. I like that better than ching, ding, 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 ding. I didn't know that was a lot better than that. But see, they were intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. You ever try to talk to somebody that's intoxicated with the Holy Ghost? They fall down on you. You're going, how you doing? Blah, blah. Next. You know, just going around. And then one time I was trying to be an usher one time, try to help people that were intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. So the pastor said, would you be an usher? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to be kind. Would you like to get up? I'm trying to be. And the pastor said, just drag him and throw him in the corner. Drag him and throw him in the corner. And I never forget when that guy went out, ching, ding, 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 ding. I wanted to throw that boy in the corner. So I just grabbed him and I drug him across the thing. And he went, ching, ding, 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 ding. And the faster I drug him, the more he dinged. Ding, 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 ding. I just put him in the corner. I'll never forget that. I'd go to the ladies, Lord, and I'd say, you know, try to be nice. You know, and some of them were just, wow. They used to have what they call holy rollers. I didn't like that stuff at all. We had a lady roll underneath the pew. We couldn't get her out. She's too fat. She picked up the pew. I thought, we're going to have to pick up the pew to get the woman out from under the pew. And she's going, Lila, Lila, Lila. I said, my gosh, she's going to break the pew. Now, we laugh at that. But you see, I was the one that was missing. And I'll never forget one time in Walker, Louisiana, a doctor and his wife came in. And that woman had some of the finest jewelry around I ever saw in my life. And she said, we're Baptist. I said to myself, not very long, not around here. The Holy Ghost hit that woman, just like Kathy. She did a blood-curdling scream, woo! And when she did, she went, ow! And all the jewelry just flew all over the church. And the doctor took off, running after every piece he could find. I'll never forget that. True story. Got intoxicated with the Spirit of God. I leaned over the man and said, don't worry about it, sir. I know what you're going through. I've been there myself. He said, does it get worse? I said, yes. I said, sometimes they go home and speak in tongues, they get in the bed. I mean, you trying to do some business. He said, well, that ain't going to work tonight. But no, hang that up, glory to God. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. This is my church. I can just say what I want in this church. Glory to God. How many times I try to get close to God? Woo, Lord. I said, I wish he'd... Well, anyway, glory to God. Intoxicated. What do you say? We must become intoxicated with the influence of Pentecost. You see, and if you want people to receive this, write this down, we must awaken an interest, a desire, and a conscience for the miraculous. Have you ever told people that they're going to get a miracle before they come? My brother-in-law was here last night. I'll never forget, he was a lawyer. And I was a preacher, and he asked me to go into his office. Now, I'm going to tell you, a preacher and a lawyer is a combination. People would come in to Jules' office. Now, listen to the point. We must awaken an interest, a desire, and a conscience for the miraculous. And he believed everything I said about God. People would come in, and they would be hurt, and they want to sue somebody. He said, now, I can get you a lot of money, or I can get you healed. Which one you want? Now, they're coming from a lawyer. They go, what did you say? I can get you a lot of money or I can get you healed. Some people said, can we get both? No, it's one or the other. And some people said, I would rather get healed. He said, hang on a second. He bring the person over to me. He said, Jesse, I told this lady that the Lord would heal her. He said, now he going to pray for you and you're going to get your healing. He said, when you finish, we'll send her back. Now, I put pressure on you. I want to go shing, ding, 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 ding myself. How many times Jews would bring people? One time he went to Chauvin's funeral home, tried to get a bunch of dead bodies to bring them to my meet. He said, if you get them over there, we'll raise them from the dead. He said, Jesse's never lied to me. And he said, God said to raise the dead. He's trying to get, I said, leave the dead bodies alone, Jules. Ooh. And I am not, am I telling the truth? He just believed that stuff. He brought a woman in our meeting in the great metropolis of Bayou Blue. I was preaching a church that sat 50 people. The place had 51. We were packed out. Remember that, Kathy? Bayou Blue. Bayou Blue Assembly, I think was the name of that church. He said, and man, I'm about ready. I said, let's all pray. He said, Jesse. He said, I brought a woman that's paralyzed. I said, well, where is she? Here comes this woman. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, let the rapture of the church come right now. God Almighty. He turns around and says, God is going to heal you. My brother-in-law has never lied to me. He said, now, go ahead and pray for it. And he turns around to the church. Y'all watch this. Am I telling the truth? I'm going, oh, sweat running down the back of my legs. I said, Lord. He said, I'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. She could not lift her hand up. She had fell down in Kentucky Fried Chicken, had a major lawsuit. But she said she didn't want to go through life with that paralysis. I mean, she was, bad. And I said, Jesus. And when I did, both arms flew up. And the place lost it. I mean, lost it. Why? We created an interest. We created a desire and a consciousness for the miraculous. Now, how you like to have a brother-in-law like that? That's amazing. He just simply believed. You see, and Brother Armand, he kept my faith up. Because sometimes he said, listen, I'm going to go to your meeting. I really didn't want him to come. Because I didn't know who he going to bring. What's next? That passion to receive the miraculous. And I'm not exaggerating any of these things. These things literally happen. So I would pray. I would fast, Lord Jesus. Because I said, God, you've got to do this. And then I realized I was trying to fast to force God to do something he would have done anyway, and I could have eaten. I wouldn't have had to go hungry. All I do is just believe what he said. You see what I'm saying? This power, write it down, is given to us. The power that is given to us is a living union with a living God. Is your God a living God? And do you have a living union? Let me say it again. This power given to us is a living union with a living God. I don't know about you people, but I'm not saved enough to be miserable. I enjoy being saved. I have God Almighty. I talk to the Lord. I don't just pray to God. Can I say something that may shock you? I don't pray a lot. Praying is always asking God for something. Oh, Lord, I very seldom ever ask God for anything. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? But I talk to God quite often. I just talk to God. I'd be walking around, bless God. And I just say, hey, Lord. He say, what? I mean, it's just amazing. I'll never forget one time I was riding my motorcycle right here. And I was coming up Ormond Boulevard. And I saw the Burger King. And I decided to get me a hamburger. And the Lord was riding with me. We were enjoying ourselves. And I got off the motorcycle and I'm walking in, you know, just to get a hamburger or something. This big guy comes out of a truck. Now I'm intoxicated with the Spirit of God. Me and God have been riding around together. Just shouting and blessing the Lord. And the Lord said, witness to him. I said, all right. I said, hey, you. Now you got to talk. You got to get an attitude, you know, when you ride a motorcycle. You know, it was a Harley. You know, go and they go, hello. You know, you got to walk in, hey. You know. Pull a bug out your mouth or do something like that. You know, I mean, you got to, you know, it's a motorcycle. You understand what I'm saying? Ask Kathy. She knows what I'm talking about. Glory to God. He said, what? I said, you hungry? He said, what to stop here for? I said, I'll buy you anything you can eat. All right. He said, yeah. So I sat in. He sat down. He got a double meat whopper with cheese and a chocolate malt and large fries. This boy can eat like a horse. So I'm sitting there and talking to him. And I start talking to him about Jesus. And he's sitting there eating and just looking at me. I said, man, God's in my life. Glory to God. All of a sudden, tears come in his eyes. I said, you need to know the Lord. He said, I never thought my grandma's prayers would get me at a Burger King. I said, exactly what he said. I never thought my grandma's prayers would get me at a Burger King. I said, well, she's had it her way. Got the boy born again right there in the Burger King. He said, who would have? He said, why'd you stop? Why'd you ask? I said, the Lord told me. He said, I believe that. He said, you know, I've never been happy. But he said, that grandma, I would think about my grandma praying for me. He said, you're the only other man that ever prayed for me. I never forget when he went to eat that sandwich. About ready to eat, I said, wait. He went, huh? I said, you prayed over that? We don't know where he got that thing at. They might have fell on the floor back there. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, you better pray over your food. And people were just looking at me. So I decided to stand up and pray for everybody's food. There were people going like that. I said, bow your head. I said, some of y'all ain't praying over this food. We don't know where they got this food. Yeah. I was so bold because of the manifestation of ministry in my life. He said, you shall receive power. Kathy's grandmother lived to 104. Am I correct? And I'll never forget, she'd come over 104. 104 and had a right mind and everything. We all called her Miss Cora. Now, I want to just do some little examples and things tonight on this manifestation of ministry. And I never forget, we were going over to Kathy's mother to eat. I don't know if it was a Christmas or whatever, something like, and she was there. You don't think that woman has a faith? She had hurt her wrist and had a little rubber band on it. I call it not a rubber band, a rubber, what do you call that thing? You know, a spandex looking little thing to just hold her wrist. Bandage like something like that. And she watched my program all the time. She'd wait for me. She'd say, that's my granddaughter's husband. And when I walked in, she said, you, come here. I said, hey, Miss Cora, come here. She said, you see that? Now she's a kid. You see that? You may do something. For you people that don't know what it means, pray over this. You got to understand how Cajuns talk. See, if you was in Texas, I'd say, come up here. I'm going to anoint your head with oil and pray the prayer of faith. But if I'm in Chauvin, Louisiana, or Bayou Black, or Montague, I said, brought yourself up here right now, and I'm going to pass my hand on your forehead.
Look at the Cajun. That sounds good to me, man. Let's go down there. That's how you talk. She said, do something with that. I said, well, I'll pray for God to heal you. She waiting on me. I literally put my hand, I can't hold your hand up. I did this. Jesus, she said, that's enough. And took the bandage off. I didn't finish the prayer. Didn't need to. She had that kind of faith. Just took it off. She said, that's enough. How you doing, Shaq? And she'd go, how you doing, Shaq? Now, you know, I didn't mind her kissing me, but the mother grandmas had too many greasy lips. I mean, I did the, oh, they just kiss you, just cover your whole head, you know, and all that kind of. But Miss Cora had some class about her, glory to God. I remember seeing Kathy's other grandmother. I didn't go. She said, come here, oh no, oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know what? She was sweet and they were nice. It was just such a blessing. But the whole thing, Miss Cora had faith. Then I realized she was intoxicated with a manifestation of God's spirit. See, she was intoxicated. So you could get things done real quick. 100-something years old. And I brought it. She wanted to see my office. I have a beautiful office. I don't know if some of you have seen this. This office will take your breath away. It is gorgeous. Make a long story short, you gotta go up the stairs pretty high to get in there, to go up to the second floor. And Kathy's mother was 70, what? She'd been lying about her age. We don't know how old Kathy's mama is. She could be 109. We don't know. Hallelujah. She's been 29 for 67 years. And look you in the face, say, I'm 29. I say, you're the oldest looking 29-year-old I ever saw in my life. So here she walking up the stairs. Now, Miss Cora, that's when she was 102. She said, get out the way, Irene. You're holding up the progress here. Now, I don't know how old Kathy's mama then, what she was, maybe 69, 70 years old. And she says, get out the way, Irene. I'm going to see Jesse's office. She's 102 years old. Walk up there. She said, come show it. She go, oh, Lord, it's like going to heaven. I said, thank you. And finally, you can hear, ha, ha, and there comes Kathy's mama. Making it to the backpack there, glory to God. But you know, Miss Cora, I found out, ministered to everyone that would go down that bayou. You know, she was born and raised Christian Catholic. But you know, when anybody came down to preach, the Catholic priest would shut everything down and go to the revivals. He would tell all his parishioners, y'all go to the revivals. And she prayed for people and she ministered to people. And God honored her all the days of her life. What did she have? Well, she awakened an interest and a desire for the miraculous. She had a manifestation of ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now write this down. The source of this power is from on high. It doesn't come from someone else. It comes from on high. The source of this power is from on high. And it is not impulsive. It is not intermittent or variable. It is constant and available. You can call upon it at any given time. Let me say it again. The source of this power is from on high. It's not from someone else. It is from on high. And it is not impulsive. It is not intermittent or variable. It is constant and available. I constantly have, Brian, the power of the Spirit in my life. All the time. I call upon it at the least inopportune time. Whenever I just feel like doing that. One time me and Brother Copeland was in a Sears. Bless God, we just stopped at a Sears. Just walking around. And I was on the other side of the aisle. And I'm going, Kuma Shakiyinda Loko Sakara. But here come Brother Copeland. What the Lord say? I said, man, God's in here. God's in here. God's in here. He said, well, my Lord, let's find him. Where is he? I said, I don't know. I think God is in. And all of a sudden, there was a lady behind it. She didn't want to, she didn't want to intrude on our privacy. But she was full of the Spirit of God. And was just praying for me and Brother Copeland right there. We sensed it. We knew it. Why? Because she called upon it at any given time. And if you're full of the Spirit of God, you will grab that and flow with it. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? So my Lord, Brother Copeland prayed for her. And then she prayed for us. And then we prayed for her again. We just had us a little revival right there in the aisleway. And people, they'd come, they'd go, oops, excuse me, and go away. They didn't want to disturb that. And we were just enjoying ourselves. Why? Because this power is not intermittent. It is not variable. It's not impulsive. By no means. It's from on high. It's constant. And it's always available. This manifestation of the ministry. I'm known all over. John Hagee tagged me with a name years ago called the Apostle of Joy. You see, I can't be sad. I'm not allowed to be sad. Because when people think of Jesse, they do this. When they think of me, they go, yeah, that's right. I'm not allowed to be sad. I'm not allowed. Even though the devil fights me, I keep my joy. Amen. I keep my faith. That's why it works. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not allowed to walk like that. And how many times God's put me in some of the saddest situations and I had to bring joy? The Lord told me one time at St. Francis Hospital in Monroe, Louisiana. He said, them people are almost dead in that waiting room. Go in there and bring some joy. I said, Lord, I don't know nobody in there. He said, I do. I said, I don't even know if I can get in there. He said, take out your ministry card and just walk through. So I walked in and said, hello, I'm Reverend Jesse DePrince. Yes, sir. I said, I need to go in there. I went into the ICU. I mean, they were just sad. The Lord said, walk in every one of those rooms and just lay your hand on every one of them patients. There must have been about 7 or 8 of them in there. I said, Lord, I don't know any of these people. He said, I do. Well, I went around and I laid my hands on 5 of them. And I just prayed. I'm going to tell you, and the heart machine went go, do, 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 do. I mean, the Lord was just touching people. And when I finished, this is at St. Francis Hospital in Monroe, Louisiana. The Lord said, go to the waiting room of the ICU. I'll never forget that. You want a story, a manifestation of ministry? Man, I just come out of preaching a meeting. Mike, I was tired. I wanted to go home. But God said, you stop at that hospital. And I did. Make a long story short, I went into the waiting room of the ICU. And I saw a woman. If I ever saw sadness, I saw it that day. Just like that. And I walked up to her and I said, hello. She said, hi. I said, can I help you? She said, are you a doctor? I said, yes, I am. Well, I am. I'm a doctor of divinity. Amen. I am Dr. Jesse DePlanis. Really, I am. I mean, I it's on the wall. Yeah. You understand? I got it. You understand? I said, can I help you? She said, my boy is dying. I said, dying? Where is he? She said, he's in ICU. I said, I just come out. I didn't see that boy. She said, he's in the last corner around the back. And by that time, I said, oh, I said, well, we can change that and fix that. And she just looked at me. Just with a small glimmer, not much, just a very small glimmer of hope. And her pastor came in. He says, honey, it's over with. The boy's brain dead. We're going to have to pull the plug. I said, don't you say that. He said, excuse me? I said, you're excused. And I looked at her. I said, you going to believe him or you going to believe me? Now, I didn't know the guy was her pastor. I wouldn't have done that. I wasn't trying to be rude, but my Lord, he's already talking death to a woman that don't want her baby to die. And the little boy's name was Chad. I said, can you come with me and show me where Chad is? I missed him. I was in there. I walked in there and Chad was on a brain scan and been in a coma and both feet were turned in like that. And they said, when that happens, it's shutting down. So I told, and she said, pastor, would you come? I said, are you her pastor? He goes, he's mad at me. Yeah. I said, well, you ought to talk better than that. I said, come with me too. I said, come on, we're walking, we're walking, we're walking. Come on, we're walking, we're walking. You know. I walked in there and here come the doctor. Can we help you? You know, now we got a bunch of people in the ICU and they ain't supposed to be in there. I said, we come to pray for Chad. I said, I'm Dr. Jesse DePlanis. He said, well, and he said, Reverend DePlanis, it's over. They have to make a decision. I said, you come with me too. I said, I want as much unbelief around me as I can get. Come on. I said that. Now, I remember my mind saying, what did you say? But see, unbelief. Well, that's going to shut. No. See, great as he was in us, than he was in the world. It's time for manifestation of ministry. So I walked in. I said, when's the last time you talked to Chad? When we brought him in here 6 weeks ago, he's been in a coma. And he hadn't said a word. And of course, you got, you know, just wires. And just everything. I said, I'm going to pray for God to touch Chad and heal his body. And I saw the doctor do this. I said, you can roll your eyes, but keep them open. Now I got everybody mad. I got the doctor mad at me. I got the pastor mad at me. But I got the mama on my side. And let's face it, when mama's on your side, that's as good as it gets. You got to get mama on your side. You get mama on your side, son, you got it made. And the Lord said, speak to the spirit of Chad. Don't look at his body. Speak to the spirit of Chad. Now, Chad was about maybe, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, something like that at the time. And the Lord said, as loud as you can. Now, you know how a hospital is. You hear just the machine, too. These are kind of quiet. So I backed up 2 steps. I had the doctor right there. And the mama backed up with me. I said, you ready? She said, I'm ready. I want my boy. I saw the doctor, the pastor. And I hollered like I had never hollered in my life. I said, Chad! Chad! I command you to speak. And the kid opened his eyes and he said, mama, I'm hungry. The place went crazy. The doctor grabbed. He said, my God. I said, whoa, doc, I'm doing better than all of you. Don't put your hand on him. Back off. And I turned around that pastor and tears coming out of his eyes. That mama grabbed that boy. He said, "Mom, I'm hungry." God healed that boy. Chad today is probably, 38, 40 years old. He walked out of that hospital under his own feet within 5 days after that. And never once lost consciousness again. A manifestation of ministry. At the St. Francis Hospital in Monroe, Louisiana. I'll never forget it. I walked out and that doctor said, "My God, I've never seen nothing like this." I said, "Because no one ever believed it." And it wasn't because I was special. It's just that I was obedient. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Words without works produce nothing but frail, weak people who are held captive by something that has no power. Write it down. Words without works produce nothing but frail, weak people who are held captive by something that has no power. See, power is found in the path of obedience. Write it down. Power is found in the path of obedience. This is the manifestation. You see, if we got to believe, if we're preaching something that's changing people's lives, then bless God, change has got to come. Now, I'm trying to stay in this teaching mode, not to get into preaching, but to understand, well, it's got to come. We have to believe what we say. And then after we believe what we say, we have to produce what we say. Now, we know other people's wills are involved in that. That's a whole nother ball game. But when you're dealing with a situation that someone cannot think for themselves, are you hearing what I'm saying? Then you can take over in that situation and produce the manifestation that a person needs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Power is found in the path of obedience. See, the gospel preached without power is like a well without water. I probably the most asked question to me of my whole ministry is, "My God, Brother Jesse, I've been knowing you for 30 years. You're never sad." Well, I tried sad. I didn't like it. You see what I'm saying? I tried broke, and I'll never do that again as long as I ever live in my life. No. I made up my mind that, see, God said, "Out of your mouth, out of your belly flows what?" What? It didn't say a stream, did it? It said a river of living water. You see what I'm saying? And that's why there are a lot more churches not full. We talk about stuff, but we never produce it. We confess and never possess. And that's just simply the truth. That has got to stop. I really believe we're living in the last days. I honestly believe that. And sometimes some people, you're going, even though you shouldn't go over what you see, but sometimes they're going to be, sometimes you're going to have to show somebody something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to have to show somebody something. Well, Chad was miraculously touched by the power of God. I shouted as loud as everybody else. I won't tell you something. I couldn't get out the ICU waiting room. And I went, no, don't leave. It was amazing how power gives people hope. How power gives people hope. That's what Smith Wigglesworth did with his own wife when she died. By the power of God, he said, "Polly!" And she came back and said, "Leave me alone, Smith. I need you. I know you do, but God needs me more." They talked for a few minutes. I think it was about like an hour. And then she went home again to be with the Lord. I went to the man's grave in Bradford, England. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? I told that pastor, Pastor Paul Scanlon, a great church in Bradford, England. I'll never forget it. I said, "I want to go to the grave of Smith Wigglesworth." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." And I went in, I walked in, and this guy that took care of the cemetery, he said, "You from America?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You want to see Smith?" I said, "Yes, I want to know where Smith Wigglesworth's grave is." And I walked in there. I said, "Come with me." And I remember me and Kathy were standing there looking at Smith Wigglesworth's grave and his wife and his daughter. I said, "Sir, do you know what this man did?" I said, "He raised his wife from the dead that's in there with him." He said, "By Joel, you got to be kidding me. I ain't kidding on it." He said, "That's why everybody comes here." I said, "That's one of the most powerful men that God ever put in shoe leather." I said, "And the dead in Christ going to rise." I mean, I just enjoyed myself. Jim, I was in that graveyard. I said, "Lord Jesus, just the honor of it, just the honor." I said, "Lord, I said, let me do honor to Smith Wigglesworth in my ministry. Let me be an honor to those that went before me instead of an embarrassment. Let me be an honor to someone and honor that person." Man, I walked out of there. I had a wonderful time. And the next day when I saw Pastor Paul Scanlon, he said, "What other dead people you'd like to see?" And it's amazing. I said, "Where's his home?" He said, "We'll show it." And a Muslim owned his home. I said, "Why didn't somebody buy this? You know how many people want to know about Smith Wigglesworth? This could be a museum for God's people." I went to the place where he prayed, where he walked down the street, where he started his plumbing business. I did all those things. It was just such a blessing. And what I appreciate about the man had manifestation, not just talk. So a great truth is always capable of producing a great manifestation. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2:5? That your faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we decided to go secular television, you remember that day? We had Doug Neese, who was a TV buyer, come in. I'll never forget it. We decided to go on 20 stations, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and take 20 stations, four or five of each one of them. And we will step out by faith. Right, Kathy?
That's right. That year we were celebrating 20 years of ministry.
And we were selling 20 years of ministry. So, and we had been on TBN and we'd been on the Christian satellites, but we decided, let's go secular. Now, secular costs a lot more money than a Christian satellite. So since we were celebrating 20 years, and of course I didn't have any celebration like we have now because I didn't want to do any of that, we would just go on 20 stations. So I'll never forget when we sat down in our office and Doug said, now I know you've been listening to them Copeland tapes. Doug is Kenneth Copeland's brother-in-law. I said, yeah. He said, now Jesse, it takes anywhere else between 1 year to 18 months so people can find out where your program is. And so it can start paying for itself as you can, you know, share your vision and get your partners going. But he said, we were believing already before Doug got there for manifestation of ministry. He said, so now that's the normal norm. And sometimes it goes over that. It can go to 2 years. And if you wanted to make that investment, he said, we can get this secular ministry part of it taken off. He said, so how long you want to believe for? I know you're going to want to pray over that. Me and Kathy said at the same time, 2 weeks. He said, what'd you say? I said, 2 weeks, Doug. He said, my God, I've been listening to them Copeland tapes. Lord Jesus. He said, Jesse, did you hear what I said? I said, I heard it, but I didn't let it seed into me. I said, I want this paid for in 2 weeks. Now, in 20 years of ministry, I never had a magazine that was late. So we were going to do a big push in a magazine that we were going on secular television. And guess what? The magazine printers and thing messed up. We wanted to get it out at least 2 weeks before we went on to let everybody know where we were. But it delayed it. And the magazine didn't come out till after we started the program, 2 days after. But me and Kathy were still standing on 2 weeks to have that thing totally, completely paid for, which was a lot of money in those days for us. So finally, when the people got the magazine, already one of our programs had been played. So we only had 7 days left. And ladies and gentlemen, come 2 weeks to the day, 14 days later, we paid cash for all 20 stations for 1 year in advance. A manifestation of ministry. Today, the amount of money that goes out of this ministry every month is astronomical concerning television, and it's paid for right now, 1 year in advance. God has not gone against his word. Give him another hand. Manifestation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, why did that happen? Because I'm a good preacher? No, because I preached a truth that's capable of producing a great manifestation. See, we must not only work miracles, we must become miracles. We must be miracles. Yeah, we must be. Because the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. So what are they thinking when they see us? What are they hearing? What is happening here? And there's a lot of people sometimes just come to watch and get born again watching. I'll never forget at one of the believers' conventions, had a guy come in there. He said, I got to see how these guys do this. They pick up more money than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to figure out how they do that. And then we're going, you know, these guys are super motivational speakers, man. They can just get things. And so he's trying to figure out how we're doing this, Steve. And my Lord, he wasn't in for 2 sessions. He got born again. Come forward, he said, I came here to criticize y'all, and I got born again. And became a part of the offering the next day. And still coming to those meetings. And God's blessing his ministry. What did he see? He saw us be miracles instead of just work a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, the Son of God is the love of God coming near us for quickening action. If I want something done, all I got to do is get close to God. And that love that's shed abroad and minister and that peace that passes all understanding and begins to shed and just come forward. I've walked in the rooms and I've seen people turn around, not because I was in the room, because the presence of God came in there before I got in there. You hear what I'm saying? What are you saying? I'm saying the Son of God is the love of God coming near us for quickening action. If we are to succeed in manifestation, our lives must illuminate with the seal of the Spirit. You have to be an illumination. You have to be a light that's going off in a dark place to have the manifestation of ministry. So I want to say this and close out in this 30th year and understand this. When God told me to build this place, I'll never forget what he said. I want you to build my house. It was a Solomon thing to me. I want you to build my house. I said, God, I'm not a builder. I'm not a builder. You know, I'll go buy a building. I'll go lease one. Do whatever you want me to. I don't know how to build. I know nothing. He said, that's why I'm calling you to build it. He said, now we're going to have a conversation. So me and the Lord had a business meeting like we talked about this morning. And I began to step out by faith. And I said, Kathy, we're going to build Jesse the Planet's Ministries. We're going to build it as a complex. We're going to do it in three phases. We're going to do the production distribution first. Then we're going to do the executive offices. And then we're going to do the church with the TV studios and Sunday school facilities and things of that nature. She said, that's fine. So as I began to pray, I said, Lord, I said, I need a manifestation. Well, I had at that time Hibernia Bank was here. There was the Whitney Bank, the Hibernia Bank, and First American. That was the banks that were here in the New Orleans area, in the Destrehan area. So they came out to see me. They said, Reverend Blanis, we like you and we'd like to be a part of the building project of Jesse the Planet's Ministries. I said, I don't need you. They said, what did you say? I said, we don't need you. I said, we're going to pay for this cash. And naturally they were inquisitive. They said, do you have all the cash? And I said, no, I don't have all the cash, but God does. I said, my Heavenly Father owns it all. And they laughed at me and thought that was kind of humorous. But you see, I was on a mission of God. Now, I didn't put my word out that a manifestation would come forth. How many times did the devil tell me you're going to have to stop and shut it down because there ain't going to be enough money coming in? Ladies and gentlemen, when I started to do this buildings, I had $1.2 million. My own contractor. See, everybody thought I had all the money to do it. No, I only had $1.2 million when I started this thing. He said that it would take $10 to $12 million to build what you see here today. And of course, now it's worth over $17 million, maybe more now. But to make a long story short, everybody thought I had the $10 to $12 million. I had $1.2 million. But I heard the voice of the Lord. I said, Porter Slab, we're starting in the production distribution center. And I tell you, I was so comfortable. I was so blessed. And the Lord said, I'll move upon 7,000 people to give $1,000, that's $7 million. And I had the architect said, you cannot build this. If you go in the foyer of this church, that's Italian marble. This is all Italian marble. This is very expensive stuff. If you look around here, just the stained glass, the things, that is a lot of money. But we wanted to build God's house. When we came with carpet, we went, I said, I don't want regular carpet. I want stuff that they have at the Ritz-Carlton. I want God's house to be nice. And they put all this carpet in, and I decided to put a design. I would look at this, and I said, cut the hole in the floor. Make me a design. And all kinds of different things. We just knew what to do. And God began to bless. And the devil kept saying, buddy, you're going to have to shut down. I said, I will build 4 solid years, and I will not shut down once. And everybody thought I had the money. So I let them think it. I like the heathen. I like the heathen to think it. And I started out with $1.2 million. And then in a business meeting with God, as I was walking out on this, I said, Lord, I'd like to talk to you concerning the building project. He said, yes, what would you like to do? I said, I want to finish this building. When it gets 80% finished, I want to pour the slab for the next one. Can I do that? He said, you certainly can. So I walked up to Ray Cronick, the contractor. I said, Ray, when we 80% finish with the production distribution center, I want to pour the slab for the executive office, the one with the 24-foot columns around it, the one that's right out here. He said, okay, I'll put that in and we'll do that. He said, now, you know that slab's going to cost a lot more than this production distribution, all this kind of stuff. I said, that's all right. Now, we ain't borrowing no money. This man decided to come and do this without a contract. We had no signed contract whatsoever between me and him. He said, but you are a trustworthy man. I said, I will pay you, Ray. He said, I know you will. He said, I'm excited about this. And as I was walking away from Ray, I said, Lord, I want to talk to you about that. I hadn't finished talking to you about that. He said, what would you have me to do, Jesse? I said, listen, when it's 80% finished, I want to pour the slab. And I want to pay cash for the slab. He said, done. I said, but now, Lord, Ray told me it's going to take anywhere from 4 to 5 weeks after it's 80% finished for us to start on the new phase. I said, when we walk out on the next slab, I want all the money for the whole thing. The Lord said, that's all you want? I should have said more. I was stupid. But, you know, I said, that's fine. He said, okay. So sure enough, I finished out the production distribution center. I remember Ray on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. He knocked his bars off there at 3 o'clock. And he said, Brother Jesse, call me Reverend. He said, Reverend, we're going to start on the executive office phase 2 on Monday morning. I said, I'll be here, Ray. And I walked out on that slab. And I had paid for the slab, but God done exactly what he did. When I walked out on that slab on Monday morning, I had the money to pay for the whole building. Every bit of it. And that's a very expensive building back there. I mean, that's an amazing. If you've been in there, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I said, Lord, concerning that last deal, I'd like to do that for the church, if that's all right. I said, when this one's 80% finished, I want to pour the slab for this building. Now, this is a major slab, you understand? This church, plus all the, because we had to, actually in the television, we had to cut out under the slab so they can roll underneath there, go in there and run the wires and all kinds of, I mean, I got like a little city underneath there where they can just get in there and do all those things, which costs a lot of money. The architect had to draw all that stuff that costs more money. And I said, now, Lord, when I walk on this slab, I want the church paid for. He said, that's fine with me. I said, can I add one more thing? He said, certainly. He never told me no or nothing. And that's when Kathy said, that's the stupidest thing I ever told God in my life. I said, when I finish this whole place, I said, I'd like to have the same amount of money I started out from the very beginning. He said, $1.2 million. I said, yes. Do you know when I walked out on this slab, I paid cash, but George, I walked out, we paid the slab, and when we walked out, after it was 80% finished, we had then paid cash for the whole building. And when we finished it, I had $1.2 million the way I started. And Kathy said, stupid, stupid, stupid. You got God on the line and all you want is $1.2 million.
We had grown.
Yeah, we had grown. Yeah. You want to preach this or you want me to let me finish this thing? Glory to God. Okay, I'll tell you, help me out here. And we also had grown. We opened up the ministry in the United Kingdom, which cost me a ton of money. And then we opened up the Australian office, and they're there. And that started. And Kathy said, why did you tell the Lord $1.2 million? I said, I don't know why. She said, you could have said a 50 or 100 million. He'd have done it. I said, well, I didn't hear you talking about anything. And then, you know, they give me this man. You the man. You the man. I said, girl, I'm going to open up a manifestation on you like you ain't ever seen in your life. She said, shut up. I said, okay. I finished the project with one, and I had the exact same amount of money that I had when I started. And then I had another business meeting with the Lord. I said, it ain't enough. He said, well, you're the one that set the agenda. Would you like to change the agenda? I said, yeah, I want to talk to you about a buffer. He said, that's fine with me. What do you want? And I began to name some big figures. And ladies and gentlemen, as I speak, this ministry's got them big figures sitting there. Everything I ask God, he never once blinked, he did. Because he's a God of manifestation.
Yes, he is.
The manifestation of the man. And it took power to get it done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything. Everything. And I have to watch what I say because I get it. I'm very careful about that. I don't abuse that power. And I just get it. Now I'm known all over the New Orleans area. People talk about me constantly. Some say good things. Some people say bad things. But at least they talk it. And they want to know about this house that I'm going to build. Oh, Lord, should I say it? Lord Jesus. It's going to be. And I didn't know this. And I never wanted it. Look at Kathy. Her eyebrows up to her hairline. Oh, Jesus. It's going to be the biggest house in the state of Louisiana. I did not know that. I wasn't trying to build that, but they got on the internet and this baby. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, I can get mad at Kathy and both of us can repent and not see each other for 5 days. Glory to God. And you know what Kathy wants to do? She wants to entertain. She want to take some of you like in a meeting like this and come to the house and we'll fix you dinner and all that kind of stuff. And bless God, we're going to start having more meetings like this. And my contractor, do that for me, Richard. We're about ready to start this thing. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't mean it's a negative confession. I know the helicopters are coming. You know, I'm going to just wave to them. I might even build a pad so they can come down and just land a little bit. Glory to God. Get on the glory of God. And the reason why I'm doing it is not to show off, because the Lord told me no limits, to tell Kathy no limits, which I did not want to do. Because see, when we were decorating this place, Kathy would come up to me. She said, turn me loose, Jesse. Just turn me loose, Jesse. Turn me loose. She'd be just shaking like she had to go to the bathroom. Turn me loose, Jesse. I said, well, what do you say, turn me loose? Let me just spend what I want so I can decorate. Turn me loose. So I told her, I said, well, go get what you need. I thought she'd take the van. She took the big truck. My wife driving this truck. I mean, I said, good God. She came back filling it up. You know how many pictures you have to buy just to decorate this place? Just turn me loose, Jesse. Well, there ain't no more problem, not concerned. I said, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Now, you just do what you need to do. I've learned how to submit to that. So I want everybody to know that to a certain degree. You know, just to a certain degree. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I mean, Kathy, I mean, she see anything on television, she buy it. Between her and my daughter, they keep QVC alive. My Lord, she even bought some stuff that helps your eyes when you get up in the morning. Open up the refrigerator, and there was these things. I said, what is that? Kathy goes like, yeah, you put them on your eyes so your eyes don't have bags. I said, you believe anything, woman. They can sell you anything. Oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And she went preacher meeting. I was by myself, and I came home one night. I opened up the door, and I saw them things. Let me try this here. See if it worked. It didn't work. I guess I didn't put it on right. We got more exercise equipment in an attic like you've ever seen in your life. We got pulleys, we got chains, you name it, bless God. She used that for about 3 days. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start this house probably very soon. We finally get these architects and engineers together. And it's going to be a blessing to the glory of God, not to show off. And then we'll have a meeting and maybe you can come over and look at it. And I know people are going to criticize it, but they want to go inside and look at it. I know that. I remember that with the plane. I didn't criticize the plane, but they all wanted to ride. It's just truly amazing. And you know what? God said, you built my house, now build your house. And before I even started, the house is already paid for. The money is there. Is that God Almighty? Now, if that's not manifestation of ministry, I don't know what is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's no respected person. If he did it for me, he will do it for you. And I tell Covenant Church, and they know it, we're going to get everybody at Covenant Church debt free.
Amen.
We're going to get them all debt free. We are believing for that and rushing toward that like a train going somewhere. It's going to come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then we're going to pay off other people's churches because the money's still going to flow. There ain't no other choice. It's going to come to pass. And our partners too. Everyone. We believe in God. And our foreign office. Y'all listen to me in Australia. You listen to me, Russell and Kate. We are going to build a nice building there. We're going to build something like we got here. And you listen to me, Mark. We're going to build something there at 98 Kingdom. I've invested millions of dollars in there.
That's right.
Most people would have quit and left. But I haven't. Because God told me to go. I don't quit. There ain't no quitting me. You understand what I'm saying? And it's going to be debt free, and it's going to be a blessing if Jesus tarry for generation upon generation. And I say this in close, standing right there, I'll never forget. I came in to preach for Covenant Church a couple of years ago, and there was a lady with her little daughter. Her little daughter about 6 years old, and I walked by. She said, "Hi, Brother Jesse." And I said, "Hey, sweetheart, how you doing?" And she looked at her mama. She said, "Mama, this church is paid off, ain't it?" And I heard the child, I just looked like I'm looking at, and her mother said, "Yes, Brother Jesse, paid this thing off." She said, "But then I don't have to pay for it when I get big." And I said, "Right, you don't have to pay for it when you get big, and neither will be my children." She said, "That's good." I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Now even the children around here at Covenant Church is recognizing what it means to get out of that financial pressure and stress, and we do it by giving, and we do it." And I want to tell you something: you gave to this ministry in these three sessions a lot of money, and I promise you that God will bless you. Because if he does it, then he's not God. He has to bless you. If you gave it in faith, I received it in faith. It's got to come to pass. And I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Amen.
So I'm expecting testimonies. And the least you can do is write me when you get blessed.
Amen.
Just write and say, "Bless the Lord. Things are happening. And God is doing wonderful things all over." Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy it tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Come on. Praise the Lord.